Someone said there's, Lord bless the word this morning. A few weeks ago, I was in
I guess I have to start that over. Yeah. A few weeks ago, with a friend of mine, we were having a time of fellowship, and he was expressing how he was learning the difference between God's calling in his life and the gifts that God has given him to use. And when I heard him speak, I also heard the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. And that word has been with me ever since, and I want to share that with you this morning. There is a difference between God's calling and his giftings. And I think it's largely misunderstood in the church today. People really don't know the difference. And there are problems that result from that. Some 30 years ago, I remember when I was entering into the gifts of the Spirit and the charismatic experience, it wasn't as widely accepted as it is now. In fact, it was persecuted. Many people in the institutionalized churches that were more given to ritual, they were very much afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. Many people were saying that they're not for today, they're for back in the book of Acts. Well, my point then, as is now, if we ever needed God's giftings and power, it's now in the day we live in. But at that time, there was a lot of misunderstanding, again, persecution. And I look today how much has changed in this world, in the religious world. The charismatic experience is widespread. It's very much accepted, not everywhere, but a lot more accepted today than it was then. When we speak about the giftings, we're speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, like the gift of healing, of knowledge, of wisdom, discernment, and there are others. We're also speaking about the gift ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and others. And although we have the giftings in the church, and the giftings are important, we need to see God's power displayed. Giftings do not equate with maturity. You can have people being faithful to their gift, yet at the same time, the body may but not be maturing in Christ like it needs to be. Now, the purpose of the giftings, as you read Ephesians 4, was for the unity of the faith, to come to the true knowledge of the Son of God, and the stature of Christ in the fullness of Christ. So God gave the giftings to bring the church to that mature state in Christ. But there's been a breakdown. I believe the breakdown is not understanding the importance of his calling in our life and responding to that calling. Now, the book of Corinthians, if you read 1 Corinthians 3, they had a similar problem. The Corinthian church was very advanced in the gifts. Now, when we relate to the gifts, again, I don't want to de-emphasize them. I think we all need to be faithful to God's grace in our life. Remember in Romans, it talks about to each one is given grace, and that grace will manifest in certain giftings. And we need to read the parable about the talents. Giftings require a faithfulness. We should all utilize and use what God has deposited within us. But that is only part of the picture. The Corinthian church moved in the giftings, and yet Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 says, I can't even speak to you as mature people. You're but babes. You're still very fleshly. There's jealousy. There's strife. One is saying, I'm of a Paul. Another saying, I'm of a Apollos. They had the gifts, but the gifts weren't producing maturity. Now, the calling of God is something different. God's calling in our life shapes us, changes us, defines our spiritual path and our spiritual identity. God's calling in our life has to do with our relationship with him. It's a relational reality. From that, the gifts are meant to flow. When we're responding to God's calling, we become aware of that question that every one of our core being is asking. in each one of us. God, what have you created me for? It goes beyond the doing of the gifts. It's more an issue of our being in him. And that's why it's so important to relate to and surrender to and submit to God's calling and the work of his Spirit within us. When we focus on his calling in our life, the gifts that flow forth from us bring glory to God. When we're not focused on his calling, gifts can come forth, but often they don't glorify God. They glorify people. And you look at the church today with all the giftings. Look at all the problems we still have. Churches may be charismatic. It doesn't mean they're bringing people forth in Christ. You have abuses with authority. Churches that have gifts of the Spirit, people are being controlled, manipulated. They're not growing. They're imprisoned. Is there something wrong with the gift? No. People are not understanding what God has called us to. Because the calling always brings us to that path of humility. And if we're on that path, the glory is always going to go to God. I've been very concerned over the year over what I term spiritual abuses. What people have suffered being in church. There are so many people that have walls to God, not because they have any problem with God, it's because how they've been treated by people representing God in the church system. I've got an answer. A lot of times counseling, therapy, things can help with that process, but in every person, I don't care, you may feel like you're running with God, you may feel like you're limping with God. You may be very aware of the wounds you've suffered by the religious system. But your heart is always asking a question. God, what have you created me for? And see, the reality of that explodes beyond the boundaries of church and religion. There is great healing in that question and the answer that God brings. That's the issue of his calling. We understand what we have been created for. Then what you've been through no longer can cripple you. I've been hurt by this. I've been hurt by this type of leadership. This guy said he was an apostle, and boy, I opened up my heart, and bad things happen. I found myself controlled, this, that, and the other. Okay, that's a segment of history. That's not the end of the story for you. That's not meant to control your life. And I'm sure everyone in this room has stories to tell about things that they've suffered because of religion. But what are you called for? If you're relating to your calling, it doesn't mean the hurts aren't there, but they're not going to cripple you. Because that question, that drive, that hunger out of your heart is saying, God, you've created me for something in you that surpasses any giftings you've given me, is far greater than my history in the church and what I've been through. And in that calling, in the answer to that question, what we've been created for, God heals us so we can move on. Let's look at some scriptures. First, I just want to mention Matthew 22:14, the verse you're all familiar with. Many are called, few are chosen. Well, this word called is also invited. So we're looking at what it means to be called. It's God's way of inviting him into his heart, his home, into his life. It's an invitation. It's not a drudgery. It's not something that God puts this 100-pound weight on your shoulder saying, here's your calling, you better do it. No, the Holy Spirit says, I'm inviting you into something greater. You know, the church, the ecclesia, is what? Called out? Well, individually, we're all called, invited by God out of this world system, out of the human experience, to experience something greater in him. Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. I'm just reading the first part of that verse. To know what is the hope of his calling. We talk about God's calling in our life. It goes beyond what ministry you do. That's part of it. The calling has to do with the way you've been called to walk before him. The path you're to take. What you're to experience in life, what you're to go through, I'm reluctant to use this word, but the suffering you will experience for his name's sake. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you can know the hope of this divine calling in your life. Without revelation, we never understand it. And we never really are able to embrace it. For many people, if I said, what is your calling? They would quote to me what's been prophesied over their life, saying, I'm called to be a preacher, I'm called to be a worship leader. No, that's your gifting. What is your calling? You're talking about your life and the way you're being called to walk before him. You're being called to be led by his Spirit. And what you're going to go through, like the Lord looked at Peter and said, the time is coming when another shall lead you in a way you would not go. That's your calling. The Holy Spirit leading you in a way your flesh would never choose. We need revelation. Our minds aren't going to figure it out. That's why Paul said, I'm praying for you. Your eyes have to be enlightened to know that calling. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1:10. I'm going to go through some scriptures more than I normally do. But just to give us a better understanding of calling. 2 Peter 1:10, I'm sorry. Ah, the rustling of the pages. The dust flying out. No. Not with this group, no. Peter says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. Be all the more diligent to make certain. Well, I see in the church there certainly is a diligence to the gifts. But how about the diligence to the calling? Well, I think that's a lot harder because the calling involves the work of the cross in our lives. So it's a lot easier to put our energy into our giftings. Peter says, be diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. In other words, make an effort. Get to know what this is all about. 2 Timothy 1:9. Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1:9, talking about our being saved. He saved us. And called us with a what calling? Holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus for all eternity. Okay. We don't perform our way into a calling. When you're talking about your gifting, I'm talking about divine giftings now, not just natural abilities, but spiritual abilities. You work, right? Like right now, I have an anointing in the Spirit and sharing the Word, but the words aren't just tumbling out. I'm using my mouth to speak them to you. There's a process of work in expressing God's gifts within us. He talks about the calling here. He says it's not according to our works. It's not like if you work harder and try to be a quote-unquote better Christian, your calling is a little bit higher or better, whatever that would mean. You have a holy calling given to you by God's grace for your life, according to your purposes, what you want to accomplish in life? No, according to his purpose. Your works, your performance have nothing to do with it. So in other words, we can't change our calling. We can't say, Lord, you know, I kind of like this idea of a calling in you. It's holy. But, you know, you're leading me through some experiences that I really don't want to go through. Maybe I can alter the course a little bit. How about another calling? It doesn't work that way. There's a path. This calling is a divine path laid out in your heart, a scroll that's to unfold that only you can walk. It cannot be altered. You can say yes to it or no to it, but it's given to you by his grace. And so if you wake up in the morning and say, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't feel so righteous today. I don't feel so good. I've made more mistakes and more sins lately, and Lord, I'm repenting of them, but you know what? How does this affect my calling? It doesn't. You have his calling because of his grace for you. not because of how you perform. So no matter how we may feel, we should wake up every day and embrace that divine calling in our lives. Don't let self-condemnation or the lies of the enemy trick you into thinking that somehow it's up to you and how you think you're doing. It's up to him. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. And he talks about his faithfulness after that. When we're embracing our calling in him and the path he's given us, what we're going to be focused on is Jesus, our priest, our apostle. Every calling unfolds for one reason, because Jesus Christ is Lord. When we're relating to our gifts, we may be focused on Jesus or maybe not on Jesus. We may be focused on how much attention we're getting from people by what we're doing, right? There can be a lot of motivations. When we're focused on our calling, embracing that heavenly calling, our eyes see Jesus, because it's all about him. It's a journey into his fullness. Just a couple more. Romans 8. Verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. Oh, what a wonderful verse. How many times do we quote this one with all the things in our life that we deem unfair? To those that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. When we can embrace the calling, we understand that all the things thrown into our pathway, things that we consider roadblocks, detours, bumps that hurt us, they're all for our good when we understand the calling, what we're called to. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, what happens when we respond to our calling? He justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Do you see what the calling's all about? It's to him. We can be conformed to his image. Justified, we're glorified. All things work for good, not according to what we want from life, right? I can't say that all the things that I've gone through make sense as far as my own agenda and my own goals, but they make perfect sense according to being conformed to his Son and how I'm to fit in to the person of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about his calling, what we're talking about is embracing the Son, because that's where your path is going to lead you into a full experience of Jesus Christ, your Lord. In the book of Philippians, and we can read this letter later, Philippians 3, Paul talks about, I press forward. Well, let me get that. I like his language in it. 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what do you read before that? Paul talks about his past. He says, I consider it all but rubbish. I forget what's behind me. I focus on my Lord, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. This is what makes up Paul's drive to press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This upward call, responding to that, means we are experiencing this. We're saying goodbye to the past. We're saying yes to being, to fellowshipping in his sufferings, to the power of his resurrection. So it's not just something you wake up and say, okay, God, I accept your calling. It's an ongoing work of the Spirit in your heart, forgetting what lies behind, because your calling will never lead you to look back. Your calling will always cause your eyes to be forward on that prize of God in Christ Jesus and what he has for your life. Look at Paul. It's kind of interesting. You read when he was called. You remember that the person that spoke, he was blinded, and the one that prophesied over him, he says, you got to go to my servant Paul and tell him all the wonderful things he's going to do. You got to tell him all that he's going to suffer for me. Here's the power of the calling. We all want those wonderful flowery words over our life that we will do this for God, we will do that for God. And you know, that is a part of the picture. We're meant to express his gifts, his glory, his life. We're also called to fellowship in his sufferings. Like Paul, first words he heard is all the things he would suffer for Jesus. He considered it an honor, because God's calling in him was the most important thing in his life. Read Corinthians. Paul talks about the persecutions he went through. He wasn't complaining. When I talk about persecutions, generally I can hear that tone of complaining. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going through these things kind of like, when are they going to stop and when do I get out of this? Paul was saying, it's an honor. I'm distressed. I'm persecuted. They want to kill me. I'm thrown here in jail here. I'm stoned over there. What an honor to suffer for Jesus. But until we can embrace our calling, we don't consider it an honor. We consider it a major inconvenience to our plans and our agenda. But when his calling has taken hold of our heart and we know that we've been created for this purpose, to live out that calling in Christ Jesus, then the things that we hate, I'm not saying our flesh ever likes them, but we see the purpose of the suffering and we say, thank you, God. I'm honored that you would choose me. To suffer for your name's sake is a great honor to my life. Luke chapter 10. Before we go there, excuse me, let me just read this to you. You can turn there. The calling of God, Ephesians chapter 4. I think if this first part of the chapter was understood before people got into the second part, which talks about apostles, prophets, we've had just so much study done and so much effort trying to define this and how we can get the apostles and prophets, everything lined up right in the churches. How about the first verse? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, and patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is how we walk in a manner worthy of his calling in our life. I think if church leaders would spend the bulk of their time focusing on how we can experience walking in the calling, in this humility and love, I have a feeling the other would fall right into place. You wouldn't have to try to teach people how to respond to an apostolic ministry or a prophet or anything else. When the heart's in the right place, the gifts will flow to glorify God. Now, Luke 10, verses 17 through 20, we're going to look at two examples of the contrast of gifts and calling. It says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now, they had gone out with the power of God, and things had been happening. Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, those are gifts in operation, all right? Gifts, gifting of God, Satan falling, people being miraculously changed by the power of God. Behold, Jesus said in verse 19, I've given you authority to tread over serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Rather, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. You see the shift? He's looking at his disciples and saying, here are the giftings. You're very happy to see this taking place. You're filled with joy. But let me tell you what you really need to rejoice about. Your calling. Because by your calling, your name is written in the book of life. Your home is heaven in God's heart. He shifted it from doing of works to the reality of relationship. Our calling has to do with our relationship with Him. And the more that we can understand, embrace that, and submit to that, we're going to be filled with such a rejoicing that will far surpass anything that we can do by His power or in His name. How many times a day do you walk around and say, my name is written in the book of life? Wow. But I'll tell you, the more real His calling becomes in us, that's going to be our reality. Father, the relationship I have with You by Your grace, my home is in You. I tell you, the giftings that flow from that are just that, I mean, they're good, but nothing can compare with this wonderful relationship You've created with me. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we will close with this. It's the story of Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Assyria. You remember he was stricken with leprosy. And again, you can read this later. It would be a little too long to read it in its entirety. But they come to the king of Israel and saying, we need a cure here. And of course, he's panicked. And fortunately, there's a prophet on the scene, Elisha. Elisha has this Naaman come to him and says, I've got a cure for him. Looks at Naaman and says, I want you to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Wash and be clean. There is the gifting. Everybody wants to wash and be cleaned, right? But Naaman was furious, it says. Why? Because he wanted to be a leper? He wanted leprosy? No. He was offended that he was required to go to the Jordan River. He says, behold, I thought that this prophet of God would come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over this place and cure the leper. Aren't there better rivers than the Jordan? Could not outwash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. His servants came near and spoke to him, saying, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? He went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Okay, now for us this morning, I want us to relate to, the thing of gifts and calling. The gifting is that power of God that brings the miracle. Naaman wasn't struggling with that. He was struggling with the way that God wanted to bring about the miracle. That is the calling. His pride was offended. Yeah, he believed God could heal him. The God of Israel could heal him. But why should he humble himself and go wash in a river that he considered dirty? Yet had he not done that, he would not have been clean. We all want the promises of God. We all want the gifts of God that bring us blessing. But the way to the fulfillment of those gifts and blessing is to walk at the path that he's called us to. And what Naaman was required to do was to humble himself. Every one of our paths are different. We're all unique. But there is a commonality with all of them. They all are a pathway of humility. Every calling, though it's individual with each person, will require that individual to be humble. No exceptions. We're all going to have to find our Jordan River. Our calling is going to lead us to the river that we would not choose. Our calling will lead us on a path that we would not choose in our own thinking. Because in our mind, in our pride, we have better ideas, we think. God, I think you can do it a better way. But the calling is always God's way. When we are willing to surrender to that and submit to that and not fight the humility that his calling works within us, then the miracles flow. Promises are fulfilled. then again the giftings can flow and bring glory to God. I guess the real question with calling has not as much an issue of knowledge, is it? Are we willing to be humble? Are we willing to take the path that God has created within us? Our minds fight us. Our emotions fight us. The world around us fights us. Everything around us wants to stir up that pride and that ego. Yet inside is that still, small voice that tells you that's not the way. There is a holy calling within your heart and life. The Holy Spirit is always calling out to you, saying, here is the path, walk in it. And religion has many voices, and in the church you hear many voices. God wants you to do this. God wants you to do that. God wants you in these behind these four walls. We've got it. No, we've got to go over here. Run here, run there. You know, people can be very diligent to go to church, very diligent to work for the Lord, and still be totally unaware of His calling in their life. His calling is that voice within you that says, here is the path that the Father has created for you to walk on, live in, die on, be resurrected on. And it's a path of humility, and a path that brings us to the fulfillment of what God has spoken to our hearts. Let's stand.
My bit says,
yes.
What does the Lord require?